This interview is brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. You can check out the full episode at lickinonlending.com.
Matt Graham is here to give us his perspective on what's happening this week. Matt, good to have you here, bud. What's up?
Great to be here, Dave. So let's talk about the market. Crazy stuff. And a few additional tidbits that Les didn't mention that I had a little bit of a different take, not an opposite take, just extra stuff that was going on, but we'll get to that in a second. So yes, the big news last week, actually it wasn't news, but the Fed tapering asset purchases. We knew that was coming. We knew it was likely to be 10 billion treasuries, 5 billion MBS. At first, there was a little bit of confusion and a little bit of a negative reaction in the bond market because a couple of the news wires made it seem like the tapering amount was bigger than expected. But when we looked a little bit closer, we could see that was only due to the fact that they were implementing it right away and saying that the first reduction would occur by the middle of November, next reduction by the middle of December. And so some of the headlines talked about a 20 billion a month reduction in treasuries, but it was a reference to where it would be at the end of 2021. So two consecutive months of 10 billion reductions equals 20 billion. Translation, no big deal. Bonds weren't freaked out. There really wasn't even a huge reaction in terms of volume or volatility. 10-year yields rose a little bit, MBS fell a little bit. But in essence, the bigger mover of the day ended up being the ISM non-manufacturing report at 10 a.m. And we can see that pushing yields up very clearly at 10 a.m. That was a record number for ISM services. You know, for people that are saying, oh, the economy is terrible. Well, not every piece of data agrees with that. Right. And I'm not here to cheerlead for the economy. Yeah. It was a notable one. And the other notable thing that we talked about last week is that bonds had rallied in the past after the Fed had tapered. It did take a few weeks in 2013, but it was nonetheless interesting. In fact, bonds have rallied every time the Fed has stopped buying bonds or announced that they're stopping buying bonds. And we were wondering, you know, did the market sell off enough between this announcement and the year and a half leading up to it? Because really the liftoff process began in August 2020. So quite a lot of time has passed. And the answer seems to have been, yes, the market sold off enough that this could be taken in stride. And in fact, Thursday morning, we were greeted with a big rally in the bond market, which was big enough to sort of be a little bit surprising to some. And people started to scramble to try to explain what this was all about. And I think that even the savviest market watchers saying things like, we're not entirely sure what's going on here, but it seems like it has to do with the Bank of England, because the Bank of England is out with their announcement on Thursday morning. There was definitely uncertainty as to how they were going to play things, and they ended up taking a slightly more dovish, aka rate friendly approach. And the market movement on Thursday morning coincided very well with that announcement and with their press conference. Several speakers from the BOE made comments that could be construed as fairly dovish, saying things like, we do have inflation in the short term, but we expect that to go away when supply constraints go away. And we also are cognizant of the fact that it is supply driven, not demand driven. And there's uncertainty about how that's going to play out. But at the same time, we know we have a pandemic and we know COVID numbers are really bad in the UK. So we're going to err on the side of caution and accommodation. Bond markets like that, for those that aren't looking at this correlation every morning like I am, there's a ton of correlation between UK 10-year yields and US 10-year yields. Same thing with German 10-year yields, which is effectively the EU 10-year, because Germany is by far and away the biggest economy in the EU. And when there is that much momentum in the UK, then it's going to spill over to US 10-year yields to some extent, US bond market in general. And it did. Thursday just sort of got us back in line with the low yields of the week. But then Friday, we had the jobs report. The jobs report was strong, stronger than expected, positive revisions to the previous month. Some naysayers were pointing to the fact that the labor force didn't pick up as much as they thought it should be for people coming back into the workforce. But nonetheless, I mean, it was a strong report and bonds did not rally because of some read of the internal components of that data. Rather, bonds rallied on Friday because the jobs report didn't really compel them to sell off. And the Bank of England was back again with additional speakers offering additional clarification and dovish comments on the previous day's decision. And it caused a big rally in UK yields, big enough to put downward pressure on US yields. And that's when the magic happened, because the market is very, very short, meaning traders are positioned for yields moving higher. They're betting on yields moving higher. They're short selling the bond market. And at a certain point, if something were to come along and unexpectedly push yields lower, push prices higher, it forces them to cover their short positions. And they do that by buying bonds. And that in turn pushes yields lower, forces the next short position to cover. And it's a bit of a snowball effect, otherwise known as a short squeeze, that can sort of flush out all of the negative momentum in the market and make for a little bit of a reset. And with yields moving a bit higher this morning, that may have run its course, but it was impressive and much larger than expected on Friday, with yields dropping all the way down into the 1.43-ish at the lows, and even now just a hair under 1.5. So really impressive rally, and an unexpected rally on a week with a strong jobs report and with the Fed announcing tapering. But like we always say, if you have a bunch of money to bet on the bond market and you can reasonably predict something is going to happen, and you know as close to 100% certainty as you could have that the Fed was going to taper, then you price these things in ahead of time, maybe with a little bit of overrun. And in that sense, it's not a surprise to see markets go where more current and less predictable events take them. And that's what the Bank of England did last week. This week is a little bit more of a wild card. We have a condensed Treasury auction cycle. In fact, while we were waiting to start the podcast today, the three-year Treasury auction came in weaker than expected and pushed yields up a little bit. Tomorrow is a 10-year, following day is a 30-year. Those are typically important for momentum in the short term, and no reason to expect that they won't be this time around if they fall outside of their forecast or average ranges. CPI Wednesday morning, yeah, we're tuned into inflation data, but it has to be kind of far from expectations to move the needle. Other than that, Veterans Day on Thursday, so that's going to kind of mute the tone of trading on Wednesday afternoon, and probably make Friday a relative ghost town in terms of trader participation. It's not to say there won't be market activity. It just won't necessarily be indicative of a fully liquid market. So we can't necessarily read too much into any potentially interesting movements or apparently interesting movements, because they might not end up being that interesting by the following week. Oh, and then last but not least, Dave, just because I know people may be wondering, infrastructure deal passed over the weekend. I've gotten a lot of questions on MBS Live as to whether or not that is a market mover for the bond market. And the general response is that it used to be when it was a new idea, and we're pretty numb to it at this point, and it really didn't have any impact over the weekend. No immediate jump in futures in early overnight trading. And like I said, we're numb to it.
It's the House that passed it. It still has to get through the Senate. So we'll see what happens and then where that's at. But lots of good stuff. I love your website. I mean, there's great information. You've got the live news stream. You don't have to have the TVs on. You just click on this. I have one screen on. Anyone who's dialed in and had a conference call, a Zoom call with me, they see this in the background. It's MBS Live. It's always here. And it's because I can whirl around and look exactly what's going on in real time. I love what you do. You're doing a great job, and appreciate more than anything else. Also making your product available of our trial on an extended basis without a credit card by putting in the code LOL for Lincoln on Lending. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You got it. Have a great rest of your week, Dave.
Folks, that wraps up this week's podcast. Next week, we got Pete Paglia coming on of Homebiter. I met Pete at that conference, and I invited him to come on the podcast because I'm looking at ways we can create stickiness. How can you, the lender, maybe instead think about repeat business? The mortgage industry is pathetic. Of all the industries out there, I don't know if we're the worst, but we've got to be near the bottom of the whole market and drawing people to stay with us. And a way to do that is through a home buyer product, Homebinder. And we talked a little bit about that. Again, we're focusing a little bit on this part of the year on forward-looking strategies that you can employ in 2022. So be sure to come back next week for the Hot Topics segment. Talk about that. Special thank you to our sponsors, Finastra, CMLA, Lenders One, Accelerate, Mobility, MMI, the MBA, Knowledge Coop, Mortgage Collaborative, and SnapDocs. So glad to have all of you as sponsors. Thank you. And thank you, listeners, for being here, sharing this podcast with others, and reach out and get a hold of Nick. You'll enjoy the conversation, and also getting insights into the bigger vision there. We didn't get a chance to get into all that we could have, but I think you can. He'll open up with you when you're calling him directly. So good to have you with us, everyone. Have a great week. Look forward to having you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.